Hey, ¿qué pasa, Calexico? Welcome back to the podcast. Today I'm out here in the city of Brawley. I'm here at Comité Cívico del Valle, and I'm here with two guests, somebody that I've wanted to have on for the longest, and he always never wanted to be on, and I have somebody else that works for here at Comité Cívico. Fernanda Vega is one of my guests, and Richard Brown is the other guest. Fernanda, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? What is it that you do here at Comité Cívico?
Yeah, hello. My name is Fernanda Vega. I've been working at Comité for about 9 months now, maybe eight. JK, it's eight. And I'm a policy advocate here. And I work a lot with, obviously, policy surrounding the Salton Sea. I've been working a lot with the lithium, as well as being a youth coordinator for our youth environmental health internship. And so I wear a few hats around here, but that's just a few things that I do.
And Richard?
Hi, I'm Richard Brown. I'm the communications manager. I've been here for about 5 months, and I'm coming from a journalism background. That's how you know me, and that's probably how you want to be over here.
Yeah.
But I work across all the programs here at the organization. I work with policy, I work with outreach, I work with all the programs. But I'm also the coordinator of our Salton Sea outreach program. We call it COE. So that's where, you know, kind of why we're here today, speaking in that capacity, kind of to talk about this program and how it relates to some of our other programs that deal with the Salton Sea, air quality, things like that. And talking specifically about a community workshop that we're co-hosting with the California Natural Resources Agency. And it's really kind of the perfect timing because we have Earth Day coming up, and we're basically doing this community workshop on the day before Earth Day. Or actually, is it the day before Earth Day? I'll let you talk about the days on that.
So Earth Day is actually April 22nd. And Comité Cívico del Valle will be hosting an Earth Day event fest here at Comité, but this community workshop will be April 20th. For the Earth Day event, I will go ahead invite the community. There will be a lot of family activities, a lot of learning activities, and perhaps maybe the opportunity to see how an electric vehicle works and how you like it, and if you don't like it, you get to experience that. There will be food and music, so come out April 22nd.
I saw you guys have chargers out there for EVs.
Yeah, we have two.
Oh, that's cool. Cool. I came down here to Brawley, and you guys advocate a lot for, you know, the smaller community, especially at the north end. Is it the reason that you guys are up here in Brawley because it's closer to the people that need more advocacy than, you know, people down in Calexico and El Central?
I don't think it's necessarily that people have more need, because, you know, there's need all around. I mean, there's need everywhere in Imperial County. We know that. We know that through, you know, median incomes. We know that through federal poverty levels. We know that through pretty much every single level and factor that you can take into account here. But really, this is the home base. This is where it started. It was a neighborhood organization. It was a grassroots organization. It was started by farm workers, for farm workers, by Mr. Velez, by our executive director's father. He started it as a farm worker, and its primary goal in the early days was to organize farm workers to learn English, to be able to vote, to be able to take back power for the community. Mm-hmm. And it branched from there into all kinds of different organizations that centered around environmental justice and social justice causes. And it's grown. I mean, it's grown in its scope, but it's never left its grassroots causes. You know, if you think about it, I mean, we're still doing outreach. We're still in homes. We're still helping people. But we're also doing the big picture things as well. You know, we're still working on policy. We're still helping, you know, we're still advocating for the lithium excise tax, you know, for Senate bills and assembly bills. And we're still, you know, making the trek to Sacramento and testifying in front of, you know, in the Capitol. We're still doing those things that affect policy, but they affect people. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, it's coming down to the grassroots level, because that's never leaving the forefront of our minds here at the organization. And the same thing when we're dealing with the Salton Sea. I mean, part of this Salton Sea program, this COE program, is we're out there at schools, We're at health fairs. We're in front of people, and we're explaining all these programs, and we're trying to help them understand, you know, how, you know, years of neglect and a receding shoreline and, you know, exposed playa is flying up into their lungs and in their houses and causing asthma and why, how you're seeing the direct effect between what's going on in their homes and why you're seeing increased, you know, emergency room visits throughout California and or throughout Imperial County and how it's the highest in all of California. So it's direct causes. You know, we're trying to inform people, you know, we're trying to show them what's being done at the state level to try to deal with that. You know, it's not perfect, but the state is trying.
Yeah.
But we're also showing them how they can empower themselves to learn, you know, through monitoring, through grassroots monitoring that we have done with our Ivan Air system, which we'll explain a little bit in detail. And we're also showing them how they can empower themselves through school flag programs that are informed and powered by that Ivan monitoring system. They use that monitoring system to be able to understand their own air outside, and they can raise a flag accordingly that informs that student body whether they should stay in that day, whether they can go out that day, what it's like. You know, simple, you know, red is bad, green is good. I mean, how simple is that? And then you see all of it works in concert. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to have that kind of education and outreach. That's grassroots, you know, and that's from macro to micro. It's real simple.
Yeah. You mentioned Ivan, and when I parked outside, I saw a truck and said, Ivan, I'm like, look, is Ivan. Can you?
Well, Ivan's a real big piece of the Salt and Sea program, and it's a real big piece of what we do. Ivan's a program, an air monitoring program. What's the, can you tell the can you tell the website, please?
Oh, Ivan.org.
Make sure you go to the website. That is our website. I don't mean to joke about that. Sometimes I forget websites. I'm really bad about that. Yeah. She'll tell you what it stands for in a minute, but Ivan's really important to us. It's one of our biggest things. I mean, it's something we're most proud of. We have 77 monitors throughout Imperial County and Eastern Coachella Valley, the airshed. It's something, it's proprietary. It's our science. Mm-hmm. It's something that we put together. You know, when we first started Ivan, there was a need. Somebody wasn't monitoring the way they should have been. So we developed it. We knew that we needed to do that. It was something that, it was a grassroots initiative that we started. And it's something that now is a model that's being used. There are Ivan monitors. Our Ivan monitors that we have developed, there are some in the city of Riverside, city of San Francisco, San Bernardino, and they're being used. That science, that technology, our app that we developed, our website we developed, we're not, you know, that's science that's being used elsewhere. But we use it, and we hope to use it, and we will be using it soon in that electric vehicle you saw outside. It will be a mobile Ivan Air monitor, the first. And so that will collect PM 2.5 and PM 10, hopefully carbon monoxide, possibly methane if we can find the technology. And that will be driving the streets and the roads of Imperial Valley, finding the hotspots of those pollutants.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Yeah, yeah. That's crazy that, you know, like you said, it started as, you know, Comité Cívico started as a grassroots, you know, for field worker families. And now you guys have created, you know, this technology that's being used somewhere else. And, you know, it's crazy.
And one thing that's important to remember is when nobody's doing it for you, you got to do it yourself. And that's the way that this whole organization has operated from the get-go. You know, when it hasn't been there or when the doors have been shut on us, we've just developed it.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, yeah, because, you know, you always hear about the Comité as somebody that's, you know, working for our local farm workers. But, you know, this is big. I mean, it's amazing that you guys have created, you know, a technology, an app, and that's being shared, you know, in other big cities in California.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, want to talk about the Salt Sea Management Program community workshops that are coming up this next week, right? Or, yeah.
Yeah, it's coming up next week. So this is a 2023 annual report, which is also a community workshop. And so in this workshop, they will be informing the community, or the California Natural Resources Agency will be informing the community of their annual reportings, like all everything they did throughout 2022 and potentially the beginning of 2023. And we asked COE, the Community Outreach Education and Education and Engagement Program, will also be out there tabling. And part of our COE scope is to educate the community about the issues and the things, the projects happening around the Salton Sea. So we're taking the opportunity to collab with CNRA and tabling out in that same event to collect names of people living in this area in Thermal, and collecting them so that we can eventually or essentially create community meetings where we start from the beginning and we go, this is how it started, this is what's happening, this is what's affecting it, this is how it's affecting us, this is what we're doing, and now you know you're up to date. And the importance of these meetings is to obviously inform the community, but also kind of push the community to want to learn more and speak up for themselves and speak up for their community and what's happening around their community, because we live all the way out here in Brawley. People live close to the Salton Sea, and sometimes they feel like they don't have a voice. I cannot speak for them in a first person point of view because I don't live right next to the Salton Sea. Mm-hmm. So hopefully this push will help them get more involved with maybe the county, maybe with us, maybe with CNRA, for them to get more involved. So that is the point of this workshop. But in this workshop, they will also be going into the projects and the processes that they're going through, maybe any milestones that they kind of reached, and obviously get to know us, the coordinator of COE and someone who's helping with COE. So yeah, it will be April 20th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. And it will be in Thermal at the Torres Martinez Desert Coahuila Indians Tameka Gym. And there is also Zoom options, so if you would like to hop on Zoom and watch it, you can go ahead and hop on our Salton Sea COE Facebook page and you will be able to find the live link for the workshop. It is important to note that the meeting being transmitted on COE, the COE Facebook page, will be in Spanish, but there are other ways for you to hop on the Zoom call to listen in on the English version. And this is also an opportunity for the community to ask questions. Ask these officials questions that maybe you don't understand, because you're probably not the only person who doesn't understand. And if you have the opportunity and you're willing, go ahead and ask, because you're clarifying a question for somebody else. And I think that's super grateful. So, yeah.
You know, when it comes to things happening in a community, a lot of the times, you know, people don't show up to events, or they have a question and they don't ask it because they might think it's dumb. How do you make the community feel comfortable, you know, in attending or being involved? Because, yeah, like I said, sometimes they don't get involved till it's a little bit too late, or they'll complain after, you know, things have passed. Or so how do you convince the community to show up to these events, be involved, make them feel that they are making a change to their community?
So at least for me, something that is super important for the community to know is that we are willing to accommodate for them. We are more than 85% of the population in the Imperial Valley speaks Spanish. And a lot of the meetings that happen here in the Imperial Valley happen in English. And Spanish-speaking people already feel defeated because they can't join because they don't understand. And if there is maybe someone willing to translate, sometimes they butcher that and they don't even give all of the information that they were supposed to. There's feelings, there's emotions in what you say. And when you say something in Spanish and they just say, you say 10 words and they translate that into 3 words, you're like, you didn't say everything I said. So knowing that, or offering these type of accommodations, like Spanish translation, is already a way for them to know, this is for you. This is meant for you. We're doing what we can for you to join. Sometimes we also try and like incentivize them to come by maybe offering snacks, or maybe this is, I guess, something that we're trying to work on, how to kind of bring community in, maybe raffling something that we kind of create then and there, right? So, for example, in one of our community meetings for COE that we eventually want to have, we want to be able to help them build an air purifier fan. I'm not too sure if those have... Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm pretty sure those have a name, but I don't remember.
We just call them fan boxes.
Yeah. And yeah. So those are pretty useful. Like they're not as expensive as the real air purifiers. Mm-hmm. And all you need is a fan and 4 air filters and boom, boom, pass. You already got an air filter, right? And so one of the ways that we're trying to incentivize people to come is like, we can teach you how to make it and we can raffle one then and there, you know, and maybe having one offered in every community workshop that we end up having. It's definitely hard to kind of keep the community, I don't want to say engaged, but bringing them to certain meetings, because people have lives, you know, people work from 8 to 5, maybe 8 to 9. We don't know. And so having these meetings available past an hour where people at least get to rest an hour and then head over to those meetings is also important. So we're also trying to work around that, trying to work after work hours. Because once again, a lot of these meetings that happen in the county happen at 10 a.m. Who's available at 10 a.m.? We're lucky enough to have this job that allows us to drive around the county and attend meetings accordingly to inform ourselves. But what about the community members who want to inform themselves? Mm-hmm. So for sure, the Spanish translations and the availability that we offer is super important for them to know that they're our target audience and we really want them there. As for the questions, I feel like that's always hard, right? But I feel like sometimes we underestimate people. Like, you're like, oh, but people are going to be shy. I'm shy. But you never know. There's one out there who will speak up and they'll ask their question and they'll sit down. They got their question answered, you know? So, you never know what's going to happen with the community, but yeah.
And there's usually like the community question asker. Like, they'll ask them, tell them like, hey, ask this question. And, and they'll ask the question do you feel that, you know, these are smaller communities, is it easier for you to kind of survey and see what would be the like the best way to have these events or these meetings? Is it easier for you to kind of like have a knowledge of what works best for them in terms of, or what would make them come or have them come to the meeting? Or do you guys don't kind of like do surveys for the community? I mean, it's easier for bigger communities when they're a little bit more involved with like technology or like social media that you can do like a survey. But, you know, in a smaller community, it might be a little bit easier to kind of like go maybe pass out flyers. And
you know, I think that is one of those situations where, you know, technology is such that it's grown to the point where you can reach a lot of people, but, you know, there's something to be said. You do still have to go door to door. Sometimes we have an amazing outreach team here, and they know how to reach people. I mean, they've been doing it. They're professionals. They've been doing it for decades. I mean, they really understand how to reach people. And flyering for an organization like ours, reaching hard to reach tracts of neighborhoods and people that aren't exactly, you know, tuned in, and not to say not tuned in, but not really wired the way conventional neighborhoods might be, you know, it's door knocking, it's handing out paper flyers, you know, it's really going old school to reach people. And that is vital. That's still a vital way to do it. And you know, we are, in many ways, Imperial County is far behind everybody else. I mean, think about things, you know, this is kind of bringing it back to another conversation, but think about what you saw out there when you said, hey, you've got EV chargers. How many public EV chargers have you seen in Imperial Valley? Not many, right? Yeah. We have one of the only we have the only public EV chargers right here, because we're the only ones that are actively doing a grant program to build public EV chargers. We will be building public EV chargers in about how many, over 40 places in Imperial Valley and Eastern Coachella Valley over the next several years. Mm-hmm. We're going to be building in the city of Calexico. We're getting ready to build one on Heber Avenue.
Oh, uh-huh.
You know, so, I mean, that's, but you know why? Because we feel like we should be doing that. Why is Imperial Valley going to be the only county that doesn't have EV infrastructure when everybody's over here trying to break down the doors, taking the lithium out of our brine?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to be Lithium Valley, and modern day prospectors are coming to Sutter's Mill, and nobody here can charge a car.
Mm-hmm.
That's absurd. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, who's, if, like Ivan, if no one's going to do it, we better do it. Mm-hmm. Well, if no one's going to put up an EV infrastructure in this Imperial Valley, we better do it, right?
Mm.
So that's what we're doing.
And when you think of, you know, the big picture is, you know, I spend a lot of time on TikTok, unfortunately, and and I've seen a lot of people posting videos where, like, they get stranded because they can't find, like they want to, like, say somebody wants to drive from San Diego to maybe Yuma, and there's no chargers. So imagine having one in Brawley and Central. People that are driving by will stop by, maybe look for local, you know, places to shop or eat. And, you know, it creates revenue for, you know, having a public electrical, you know.
Are you going to tell them the story?
So the other day, we saw this tow truck coming to this specific, to our chargers.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was a blue Tesla. The color doesn't matter, but I remember it was blue.
She's setting the stage.
And so if you've seen Comité outside, there's like a little banqueta area that you can't really hop over. So the tow truck really couldn't just pull up, drop off the car, and then leave.
Mm.
Like, they had to maneuver a way to get into, like, the parking lot, accustom themselves to the charger, to be able to, like, put it in the right angle to be able to charge it. And once they got here and they positioned the car correctly, they were going mad in the car because they couldn't find the... So it was a Tesla. I don't know why I said Tesla. It was a Tesla. And Tesla specifically have like a specific adapter that you have to use for ordinary chargers that are not Teslas.
Mm.
That are not Tesla chargers. And I guess this Tesla wasn't carrying one. So they couldn't use our charger. And they had been traveling, I think, from Palm Springs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they got stranded like right in the middle, like right in the front, like right before entering Brawley, like that was it.
They between Westmoreland.
Uh-huh. They didn't move any more than that. And so the tow truck here comes, they drop them off, and they didn't have the adapter. And so we go out there and we talk to them, and they're like, yeah, we were on a road trip. This is a rental. Like, we don't have the adapter. And they were asking us for adapters, but unfortunately, none of us here have a Tesla or an EV car, right? So what they had to do is get the tow truck again, load the car up, and then take it to one of the Tesla chargers that are in El Centro.
And the mall.
So the otra vez.
Yeah.
There they go. And so that's just the sad reality. We don't have any like Tesla chargers available within like the routes that people travel through. And this one didn't even help. But also it makes you wonder like why those rental places didn't have the adapter. Mm. But that was a story that we were all watching from like our offices in the back, and we're like, oh no, this is a prime example of why we need more chargers here in the Valley.
Yeah. It's, I mean, that's the you know, we're used to, you know, having gas stations everywhere. Well, not everywhere, but like, you know, like, oh, I have 200 miles and, you know, I make it to San Diego and fill up over there and come back. But sometimes, especially like with EV cars, sometimes like you'll get a range and it'll vary. Like it'll go down because if you have the EC on or the GPS, like it'll drain your battery faster than, you know, like if you have a car, like you know how much mileage you're gonna get. So yeah, you know, we need more, especially like in small communities like, you know, ours in the valley. Like, yeah, it's crazy. Hey guys, sorry for the interruption, but I wanted to take this time to thank my sponsors. I want to thank my longtime sponsors, my friend Camilo Garcia, Eddie Lopez from Roots Creative, and my friend Jake. Thank you guys for being longtime sponsors of the podcast. I also want to thank my friends who sponsored the podcast in 2022. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate your sponsorship. And if you want to become a sponsor, you can go to anchor.fm/quepasacalexico, hit the support button, and you can sponsor the podcast from 99 cents a month to $10 a month. It really helps me a lot to make this podcast better, sound better, look better, and reach out more people by promoting the podcast in social media and other websites. So if you want to become a sponsor, make sure to go to my Anchor page, and I'll leave a link, also leave a link in the description of the show. So thank you so much. And now back to the show. You wanted this map to show up. Can you tell us what, you know, what?
Yeah, actually, this map is one of the key things we use when we're out there talking to kids, to adults at fairs, at what Fernanda called tabling. Tabling means just having a resource table out somewhere and just having conversations with people. But those projects, which I'll tell you about in a sec, that's going to be part of that year review that the California Natural Resources Agency, that part of their big bound review that they'll be talking about. For us, it's you know, we talk about the projects that are part of the Salton Sea Management Plan's Phase 1 10-year plan. That's what they're actively doing right now to deal with dust suppression and the receding of the sea. And the receding of the sea and the dust suppression, that's really what's causing a lot of the heartbreak, you know, the asthma, the poor air quality, the stuff that's sending our Ivan monitors to red, to orange, you know, when wind events kick up around the sea, which are often because, you know, when you're near a body of water, wind events tend to kick up. So, you know, we tell people about the various projects that are going on. The biggie right now and the one that really is nearly complete is the SSMP Species Conservation Habitat at the south end at the mouth of the New River. And that's where they diverted the New River. And that's here at the south end. And that's where they've restored something like 4,100 acres of habitat. They've brought shallow water habitat back. It had receded, and they brought the water back to bring some fish and birds back to that area. And so that's nearly done. It should be done by the end of 2023. The other big ones we tell people about, and what we often take people on tours to so they see it, are the vegetation enhancement projects at Bombay Beach, at Tule Wash, and at Clubhouse. Clubhouse and Tule Wash are the two on the west side. Bombay Beach is the one we normally drive people out to on the east side because it's easy to get to. It's easy to, you know, you can just drive out there, and it's, you know, kind of got some interesting scenery.
Yeah, 111 is like really close to it.
Yeah. So what we're seeing there when we go out is everybody sees the grass bales, the hay bales that are sitting out on the shore, and what those are, they're basically stand-ins for natural vegetation that's been put in the ground that's still growing, that at some point will come up and be natural barriers to the dust. There was a study that was done as they were developing this, and they did the study at the clubhouse area. And CNRA scientists determined that they had 95% dust suppression at that site. Mm. So they're confident that when the grass comes up, that they'll have basically around 95% dust suppression when it comes to be. And so I think it's about a total of 1,700 acres between the three sites when it grows out. Of course, way more needs to be done, but these are the projects that are as part of the first 10 years. So that's what we've got going on. I thought it was interesting because I read for the first time today that apparently they had botanists that had collected seed all around the Salton Sea and had tested the seed in laboratories to see if it could withstand the salinity, because that's, they had to make sure as the salinity, as it recedes and the salinity increases, they got to make sure that the, that whatever grows can withstand the increasing salinity of the water.
Yeah.
So that was, I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, the, to us, you know, we've always had the salt sea, and you know, I remember because I went, when I grew up, I didn't, I came to Calexico when I was 8, so I remember like driving by it, and you know, I remember going down to probably Bombay Beach when I was a little kid, and you know, seeing, you know, the birds and stuff like that that they have there, but you know, you never think of you know, the contamination that's in the actual water, that you know, that when it recedes, what's staying behind, and you know, what we're breathing, and you know, especially like, you know, all the little, you know, the like Sansi and the other people that live there that are super close to it, that probably, you know, somebody down here at the south end probably doesn't get it as bad as they do, because you know, it's right there, and then you know, by the time the wind comes down here, like, it's probably lost some of the, you know, the contamination going.
Yeah.
So but yeah, I mean, yeah, it's something that, you know, I guess we, I don't know, we don't, a lot of the times we don't pay too much attention to it, but it's really there. And
I think that's definitely a good point, like the lack of information that the community knows, and that is why COE is out here trying to educate the community. Like, I'm from Westmoreland, so I'm not too far off, but not as close as Bombay Beach. But I never knew that things were going south with the salt and sea until I graduated college last year, 2022. I came here, and once I started working here, I knew that this was what, this, something was wrong with the salt and sea. So I think that's a little bit, it was shocking to me, because I was like, oh my God, I just knew it smelled bad. But I guess I never questioned it, right? So that being said, that's the point of COE, and as well as like our youth internship, right? We strive to educate these high schoolers on the community, the environment issues that are happening in our community. So we're trying to educate the community as much as we can.
Mm-hmm. Can I say something real quick? I don't know if you have any teacher friends that listen to this, but I always find it troubling. And I was talking to some educators that we took on tour. Mm. I find it troubling that when I went to school, because this is not a new, the ecological disaster started. The scientists were ringing the alarm bells in the early 80s. So this is not new. But I find it weird, troubling, whatever, that this wasn't at least part of my curriculum when I was in earth science in junior high, at any part in high school. I didn't hear about it at IVC. I didn't hear about it at San Diego State Imperial Valley campus. You know, It's in our backyard. Why isn't, do we have any, are any of our teachers talking about it to our students? You know, is my son going to hear about it? My daughter sure as hell didn't. You know, it seems like if it's a real problem that has real health risks associated, not risks, but health consequences associated with it, why aren't we telling everybody? Why aren't we standing on top of a damn ladder screaming at the top of our lungs, what the hell's going on around here? Mm-hmm. It seems concerning.
Yeah. And I don't think it's like they're not doing it because they want to like cover it up, but it's just, I don't know, it's
not California curriculum. I know, people teach to the curriculum.
Yeah,
I get it.
But I feel that
it's not NGSS. I know. I've worked at ICU. Yeah, I know. I know you got to teach to NGSS. Yeah. I'm not stupid. I get it.
No, but I feel that a lot of teachers take, you know, they take a little bit of time to teach about our community and what's going on, or talk about current events or whatever, especially locally.
When they do, I applaud them. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
But I feel that, I don't know, sometimes like we feel like it's like out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. And I feel like it's more because it's the air and we can't really see it. And since we don't most of us don't feel bad, but there are people that are really affected by this. I feel that we kind of I think we ignore it because, like I said, it's in the air. We can't really see it. Like when something's burning, like everybody's posting it on Facebook, like, oh, this is burning, and and because they see the smoke. But since it's like it's in the air, like we can't see it. I think it's like it's more of a out of sight, out of mind kind of deal where, like, you know, we just, I don't know, we I don't know why we ignore it, but we shouldn't be ignoring any of this.
Well, if everybody that listens to this podcast today, I love you all, but why don't you download the Ivan app? And, you know, that would go a long way to at least being cognizant of what the air quality is for that day. And, you know, that if you know what's going on for that day, then maybe if it's concerning to you and concerning to your family, it might light a fire under your you-know-what to say something and raise awareness. But, you know, I didn't mean to sound so confrontational there. It's just I really feel like, you know, this kind of stuff is really concerning, and people really should be our children should be understanding it, because, you know, when I'm dead and gone, which probably isn't too long, who's gonna, you know, someone we got a whole generation that needs to be carrying the mantle of this stuff, because this kind of stuff is only gonna get worse. Yeah. You know, and we've got the new river to worry about as well.
I mean, I think there's a lot of topics that we question why they're not in the school curriculum, right? Like, I went to Calipatria and the geothermals were right there, and never did I ever hear anything about them. And so now I'm wondering if, with lithium coming, are they going to educate the high schoolers, which is one of the things that we're advocating for, right? Like the education of lithium within high schools and higher education, because if they don't know, then how do they know that these jobs are available for them, right? Because that's also something that we're advocating for, the jobs. But it's super, super, super important that we find some way somehow to try and put it in the curriculum, because in our county, in our community, this is what's impacting us the most. And so...
And let's I think with lithium, I've worked in education for 20 years, and I think it's the only time where I've kind of heard talks about putting it in the curriculum. I know IBC is, you know, moving forward with expansion so that they can have a curriculum for lithium. I know that I think at Calexico High School they've been talking about, you know, maybe putting it in the curriculum for like kind of like a CTE kind of part of the curriculum. So I feel that I think they see the amount of work that's going to be needed for that field, that they're putting it as a priority now, in terms of, you know, like you mentioned geothermal, and you know, I've never heard anybody talk about geothermal in our schools, but you know, with lithium, it's something that it's a little bit more popular, I guess. I don't know, for some reason. I don't know.
I mean, it makes sense, right? They call lithium the white gold, and it's obviously gonna bring a big impact in our community, as in, like, this is here. Like, be aware, you know? So definitely, I think it's something that hopefully, and like you're saying, the schools are gonna take a stance on and hopefully educate the community and the students on. So I wish I was a high schooler again so that I could learn about it, because now I'm learning it with technical terms and I'm like, what does this mean? But we're learning.
Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe you can take a class at IBC.
You're not wrong.
Go back to school. So anything that I didn't, you know, you guys want to talk about that I haven't asked you or talked about? Or,
you know, I would like to add something. Fernando was talking about those small groups and bringing people together and talking to them about the salt and sea and kind of breaking it down. One thing that we really want to stress is that those groups are also those small collections of people that we recruit for these workshops. We also want to be able to really talk to them about their public health. But one thing about COE is, you know, we've spent a significant amount of time over the last couple of months kind of taking the program and giving it a refresh. and trying to bring back a public health emphasis on it again, to where we reintroduce an asthma education element to it again. We wanted to branch off into this whole section to where, not only do we talk about the Salton Sea, we have this through line. There's a through line of communication that we go from Salton Sea, the projects to suppress dust, the Ivan system and the Ivan monitoring system that sees what is in our air, to the school flag program, which is powered by Ivan, to where that, if it's a bad day, what does that asthma education look like, and what are the triggers in your home, and how can we help you asthma proof your home, and what does that look like, and what are some steps you can take? So it's an entire A to Z, not remedy because we're not doctors, but it's a sort of a prescription for living. We're trying to deliver something.
Yeah.
We're trying to deliver a system here. And that's important. It's more of an interventionist model.
Kind of like a preventative care.
Yeah, preventative care, a public health system of sorts.
And, something that you mentioned was, having these meetings when it's a little bit later during the day when people don't have to take time off from work. You mentioned health. I think a lot of people who, live paycheck to paycheck always, they don't take those preventative care measures because they need to take a day off to go to the doctor. Or so if you have, somebody that can come by during these workshops that can check blood pressure, their sugar, like at night when they're available, can probably be the best way to kind of reach out to, these communities that, like I said, especially in our culture, this Hispanic culture, we don't really take care of our health that well because we're like, oh, if I go to the doctor, you're going to find something wrong. Oh, if I need to go to the doctor, I need to take a day off.
Ponte Vicks.
Tómate una 7-Up. because I lived in the projects, and, it was something that, you hear a lot where, like, people don't want to take the day off. They don't want to, get told that they have diabetes or high blood pressure. When I was younger, I didn't do it because I was like, oh, I'm young, it's not going to happen. But, having high blood pressure in my family, I was like, I'm almost 40. I'm 40 now, but before I was 40, I started doing that. And, you do realize how it's in our culture not to do it. So, if you can tackle those two things where, like, you're talking to the community about, the air quality and stuff like that, and also have somebody there that can talk to them about their, their health, and do it when, they're available, in the afternoons, probably a good way to,
That would be cool. Mm-hmm. That's something to consider, yeah.
And it'd definitely be a way for them to kind of want to come. Maybe. Because, these resources are being offered. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're making our brains work. Or you just gave us a great idea.
So any closing thoughts that you guys might have?
Well, I hope everybody can make it to the community workshop. It'll be educational, and if you see Richard and I, well, we're always goofy, so you can probably get a good laugh out of us. And I just want to reiterate that it's April 20th, from 5:30 to 7:30. There is Zoom options, and it will be at the Torres Martinez Desert Coahuila Indians Tameca Gym in Thermal, California. And yeah, you can find the Spanish live Zoom version on our Salton Sea COE Facebook page, and on our Instagram page you can find the links to hop on Zoom through for the English version, and hoping that this gets posted before April 19th. I am also recruiting high school students for my youth environmental health internship. If you are a freshman, a sophomore, a junior, or a senior, apply. This is a great way for you to become a leader in the community. You not only gain critical thinking skills, research skills, you also get to meet other amazing high schoolers from the community. So join. And if you have any more questions, look me up on the CCV page or look us up on Facebook, Comité Cívico del Valle page, and you can find more information there. Yeah.
And I'll make sure to get links, you know, for Facebook, Instagram, and then, you know, the Zoom links. That way I can post them when I do a post on my Facebook page and Instagram. I'll link. And even on the description of today's episode, I'll leave all these links there so awesome. People can find them.
And we have our Earth Day Festival again. That will be April 22nd, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And that's going to be, we're going to be big on EV during that. We're going to have our car out there. And actually, I think Victor is going to, Victor Bias, he's our EV guy. He's going to be giving rides, right? So people can see what it's like to cruise around in that nice EV. I took it out to I drove out to West Shores High School for a presentation. And I tell you, I want an EV now. That thing was like butter. It's like electric butter.
Yeah, and I feel that, you know, EVs are getting a little bit accessible when it comes to price. Because not, you know, you don't have to buy a Tesla to, you know, there's other manufacturers that do EVs that aren't as expensive as a Tesla. I know everybody wants a Tesla because it's the thing, but I mean, there's other cars that are
nice. I wouldn't put a dollar in that guy's pocket. Yeah,
but yeah, there's other manufacturers that do EVs that are as good and even more, maybe more comfortable and even more price accessible to, you know, people in the community. And I don't know if they still do it, but for a while, the state they give you like a tax cut on your taxes or something?
I think still, yeah.
So
I wish we had Mr. Flores here because he's like our resident authority on everything EV. I mean, he knows all the rebates and all that information. Yeah, I really don't. But yeah, I mean, you can get there's a lot of reasons to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know this is funny and this is personal, right? I was trying to buy a lawnmower this weekend, you know, and I was thinking, oh, I'm going to get an electric lawnmower. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at Lowe's and Home Depot. I don't mind grilling, you know, skewering these guys because they're, you know, they're big stores. And it was like, what? $500? $600 for an electric lawnmower? I'm not going to do that. And I was like, how do I do this? You know, I'm looking around and I was like, yeah, I remember APCD has some sort of thing, program going on, Air Pollution Control District. Mm-hmm. I looked and it was going on. I bought a brand new lawnmower for $125 as long as I turn in my gas powered mower. I just had to pre-buy. I pre-bought it. And then I just turn it in on May 6th at some thing. Uh-huh. The program's ongoing. You just got to go to their website.
Yeah, yeah. I remember, I think the city of Calexico, I think they also did it where, you know, you would take your old gas-powered lawnmower and they give you a...
Yeah. Uh-huh. We should all be doing that kind of stuff. Yeah. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
It's better for everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Someone's going to be listening to this going, look at that liberal puke.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for joining me. Richard, thank you for you know, being part of the
you're
podcast
welcome.
Finally.
You're welcome.
And thank you for reaching out. You know, cool. I've told you in the past, you know, I love collaborating with, you know, agencies or just people in general that are doing, you know, good things for our community. So I'm here for whenever you guys want to come back and promote awesome. And talk to the community about other events. You know, that's what I like doing. You know, politics is part of, you know, the community, but it's stressful. But you know, like I said, I enjoy doing it because, you know, if I don't have the time and the energy to do what, you know, people like you are doing, you know, this is my little piece, you know, in helping my community. So like I said, I enjoy it. So reach out anytime you guys want to be back. And like I said, I'll put the links to all your information on the description of today's show. And when I post the episode and yeah, I'm off on vacation this week. So I'll for sure, edit tonight or tomorrow and have try to have both the video and the audio up as soon as possible so we can share it and cool. and make sure that the community listens to it. And even if you're not from that area, you know somebody that's in that area, you can make sure you invite them and let them know that what's going on. So yeah.
Cool. Nice.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening or watching, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.